Six kinds of opulences, namely wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, are all originally the different attributes pertaining to the absolute personality of Godhead. The living beings, who are part and parcel entities of the Supreme Being, have all these attributes partially up to the full strength of 78%. In the material world, these attributes, up to 78% of the Lord's attributes, are covered by the material energy, as the sun is covered by a cloud. The covered strength of the sun is very dim compared to the original glare. And similarly, the original colour of the living beings with such attributes becomes almost extinct. There are three planetary systems, namely the lower worlds, the intermediate worlds, and the upper worlds. The human beings on Earth are situated at the beginning of the intermediate worlds, but living beings like Brahma and his contemporaries live in the upper worlds, in which the topmost is Satyaloka. In Satyaloka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared. Therefore, they are known as the Vedas personified. Such persons, being fully aware of knowledge, both mundane and transcendental, have no interest in either the mundane or transcendental worlds. They are practically desireless devotees. In the mundane world, they have nothing to achieve, and in the transcendental world, they are full in themselves. Then why do they come to the mundane world? They descend on different planets as messiahs by the order of the Lord to deliver the fallen souls. On the earth, they come down and do good to the people of the world in different circumstances under different climatic influences. They have nothing to do in this world, save and except reclaim the fallen souls rotting in material existence, deluded by material energy. So I'll just read the two translations again. All that was spoken by the great sage was very sweet to hear. Full of meaning and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So after hearing them, Maharaj Brigid, desiring to hear the activities of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, congratulated the great sages. The king said, "O great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as the supreme knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Satyaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to do good to others, and but for this, you have no interest, either in this life or in the next." So, Srila Prabhupada begins his purport here by describing that the characteristics of the living entities in general. The characteristics of the living entities is that, of course, they have the same characteristics as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because everything has the qualities which are existing in the original source. So we have the original source, and from that everything emanates. If it doesn't exist within the original source, then how can it exist? The fact that everything existing means it is coming from somewhere. There is a source of all emanations, including the quality of living entities and the qualities of those living entities. So he describes that the living entities can have up to 78% partially of the same qualities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has. And Krishna, the word Krishna, or which the name, the principal name for the Supreme Personality of Godhead means all attractive. All attractive means that he attracts all living beings. Prabhupada puts it another way that if you find a person who is all attractive, then that person is God. Or, you know, in order to be God, you must be all attractive. And all of his qualities are all attractive. Each and every quality is attractive. It's another aspect of all attractive. So, the living entities, all living entities, have those all attractive qualities. Partially, 78% of those all attractive. So, the spirit soul, in essence, is a very attractive person, a living being. That's it. So, but those qualities are covered by the material energy, and therefore the attractive qualities of the living entities become very dim. So dim, in fact, almost become unattractive by the covering, unless one, of course, as those who are properly trained, they always perceive the spiritual quality of all living beings, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that whether Brahman, or a dog, an elephant, you know, the one on the platform of Brahman, they perceive the all attractive, the wonderful feature of all living beings. They see that, but for most people, it becomes covered. One of the Maharajas was in South Africa, I think, and he was at some place where they sell gold, you know, they get the gold from the mine, what have you. And he was sitting near the desk, and the person who was running the whole thing, he walked out, and Maharaj saw all this dust on the desk, he sort of blew it off onto the ground. And the boss came back in and said, "Oh, what have you done?" He said, "Oh, I just cleaned your desk." He said, "Oh, that's gold. That's gold dust. You know, that's worth a lot of money." So you see, one who has a trained eye, they can see the something pure and valuable. And to the untrained eye, it's just the dirt. So, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, is, you know, one who is in the mode of goodness, they should always perceive the attractive spiritual qualities of the living entities, even when it's very, very covered, they can still see. But for those on the material platform, they can just see the covering. And if we can revive those godly qualities, then we can actually live with God in the spiritual world. Then we become qualified with the godly qualities, then we become qualified to live in the spiritual world with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or, you know, as those godly qualities develop, we may ascend to the higher planets, even up to Satyaloka. And as those qualities are covered over by the material energy, we descend into the darker depths of different species of life, you know, becoming a dog or a cat or, you know, a worm in a stool, not very attractive. People don't stop and stare. There's no fashion parades for worms in stool. They're all basically, you know, unattractive. So, the Mahatmas here, Prithvi Maharaj is describing that these great sages who have assembled to hear Sukadeva Goswami speak Srimad Bhagavatam to Prithvi Maharaj, they are, And he describes them, they're as good as the supreme knowledge personified. They're personalities who are qualified, as Prabhupada put it, says, in such a loka, the inhabitants are fully cognizant of the Vedic wisdom, and thus the mystic cloud of material energy is cleared. Therefore, they are known as the Vedas personified. These are great Mahatmas. Those who know the Vedas understand that the teachings of the Vedas is to help the living entities to once again take shelter of the spiritual energy, that Mahatma, Daiva Prakriti. The Mahatmas, or the great souls, they take shelter of the spiritual energy. And the Duratmas, or the crippled souls, they take shelter of the material energy, and thus their spiritual qualities become covered. So, those who are considered to be like the Vedas personified, they have no Mahatma, that means they're under the influence of the spiritual energy, taking shelter of Devi Prakriti. They have no interest in either the mundane or transcendental worlds. Prabhupada describing that, you know, no interest in the transcendental worlds means that they're prepared to come to the material world for the benefit of others, even though they're spiritually full in themselves. He uses this word, which is very interesting. Why do they come to the material world? They descend on different planets as messiahs by the order of the Lord to deliver the fallen souls. Messiahs. There are, you know, in the dictionary, the word messiah means a deliverer, or sometimes a guardian angel, a liberator, a leader. So, and Srila Prabhupada says that on the earth they come down and do good to the people of the world in different circumstances under different climatic influences. So throughout the world, you know, the different continents of the world, these messiahs, deliverers, guardian angels, liberators, who know, you know, perfectly well the Vedic conclusions, they come and attract people to take shelter of the spiritual energy so that they can uncover their spiritual qualities and become godly. They have nothing to do in this world except reclaim the fallen souls rotting in material existence deluded by material energy. So, so Brihat Maharaj is glorifying all these personalities, and these personalities, they are very attracted also to hear from Sukadeva Goswami. Brihat Maharaj has praised them also by saying that what they have said was very sweet to hear. It was full of meaning and appropriately presented as perfectly true. So, of course, this is the qualifications of those who understand Vedic principles, that they try to attract people away from their attraction basically to sex life and what have you, and you know, material activities. They try to attract them to take shelter of the spiritual energy, to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and the Mahatmas. Therefore, you know, Srila Prabhupada says that here, Brihat Maharaj, of course, he is a very elevated soul, so he has full appreciation for what these great personalities are speaking. and their activities of delivering the conditioned souls. He has full appreciation. But for most people in the world, they have no appreciation. They not appreciate at all. In fact, they can be quite angry, you know, at these saintly persons, you know, from sometimes coming from Satchalok or higher planetary systems, or sometimes coming even from the spiritual world. So these personalities trying to help people to become situated under the spiritual energy, they have to become very expert at helping people to become attracted or appreciative on the spiritual path. And when Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles in 1962, he was discussing this point. And he said that actually spiritual life is simply a development more and more of appreciation, you know, of spiritual, the spiritual personalities, you know, spiritual topics. From the very beginning of spiritual life, there is no appreciation. And as that appreciation develops, one becomes more and more spiritually elevated. So here we see such a personality like Maharaj Bhutti. He is appreciating the wonderful words and activities of these great sages. So Srila Prabhupada says that even the slightest amount of appreciation will lift, he uses that word, it will lift up that conditioned soul, elevate. And he gives the example of, you know, little babies, little children, you know, that it is sometimes when there's kirtan or, you know, some activities, you see the little children, you know, they try to join in. You know, someone's playing cartel, someone starts, and you see the little legs start, you know, kicking away. And then, you know, even they can't walk, but they're, you know, they want to dance. They're sort of showing, you know, yeah, I like this. And the little legs start going, and the hands start waving. Okay, I use that example that that's appreciation of spiritual activities immediately they're elevated. And of course, you know, gradually the idea is to allow that appreciation to develop more and more. Now, when that appreciation comes to the point where one hears the topics of these great sages, such as Sukadeva Goswami or Krishna's, you know, Bhagavad Gita, if one hears that with faith and a strong taste, that is the sword that will actually cut the bondage to material existence. If one comes to that point, if one's appreciation from the tiniest little beginning comes to that point where one has a strong taste for, you know, hearing and chanting the name and the glories and the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that person has the sword to cut through the bondage of illusion and attachment to material existence. Srila Prabhupada said in that same lecture that he said, when I came to the West, I didn't have a sword. You know, he said, because actually some religious movements, that's how they began, you know, strongly in the beginning. And he mentions that. That he said, on one hand they have the sword, the other hand they have the book. He says, you appreciate, or we cut your head off. No. But mentioned, he knows the history. There are many places like that. There are many histories. In some places, different, I won't mention any different religious groups, but in some places, like in parts of France, with that method, they literally wiped out, they went through villages, wiped out every man, woman, child, and dog in the village. To give, that's the sword, to give the appreciation. And so the Prabhupada said, I didn't have a sword like that. He had this sword that, hearing and chanting, giving people the glories of the Lord, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, and he says, then they can think properly. He gives an example that he says, just like there used to be some cigarettes called Kool. So Prabhupada mentions this in his lecture. He says, just see the illusion. He says, there's smoke and fire, and they're saying it's cool. how can that be? You're smoking fire and you say it's cool. It's not cool, it's fire. And of course, they also have cigarettes called menthol. They're not menthol, it's fire. Menthol has that hot. But Prabhupada uses that example to show that, when people become purified, their intelligence kicks in. They can see the illusion, how they're being tricked by the material energy. Srila Prabhupada mentioned here all these great personalities that come to hear from Parikkhita Maharaj. They had great taste. They had that sort of knowledge, which they're giving to everyone like that. Still, they're very, very attracted to hear, even from Sukadeva Goswami, because the Sukadeva Goswami, out of all the great sages, he had that ability to give the most sweetest part of the tree of Vedic knowledge, and even then, because they're hearing from him, it becomes even more sweeter like that. But generally, people of this world do not have any taste or appreciation. So Srila Prabhupada, he says, you can actually create that taste for them. And the secret that is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam is to Mahatseva. If you associate with pure devotees of the Lord, you will get that appreciation and taste. There's a process that by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, nice prasadam, dancing, beautiful temples, beautiful temple worship, everything clean, pure, is very attractive. And we see that people come along, that taste is not there, that appreciation is not there, but they will come, they're attracted. because of the activities of great Mahatmas, pure devotees such as Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, that they have devised such wonderful plans to attract people. So many different methods. People become attracted and they come along and they take a little bishad, they hear, they chant like that. And if they render a little service to the pure devotees, that is especially powerful. So, by that process, then gradually the different one becomes first is some appreciation. So Prabhupada describes that appreciation, it gradually matures into Shraddha, faith. faith in Krishna consciousness, faith in Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. That Shraddha as one associates with devotees, it becomes more, you know, progress. And that appreciation and faith becomes more progressive. To the point, one wants to become a disciple. That yes, these Hare Krishna people can teach me how to take shelter of the spiritual energy. Let me learn this process. So then some may step forward for initiation by the Bona Fide Guru, and they will take initiation. That means Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya is a process whereby all the unwanted things, the unwanted activities which connecting one with the material energy and putting obstacles on the path of taking shelter of the spiritual energy, they are cleared away by following the instructions of the spiritual master and associating with the devotees. And then as one then one comes to the platform, become nishtha or fixed up, that one's faith becomes very, very firm, because the unwanted things have been taken away. Now, one's intelligence is nicely situated in the mode of goodness. One's activities, one's senses become about 60% process. Not completely, but 60-70%. That fixes one up. Predominantly one is, you know, under the spiritual situation. There's some material tinges there, but they don't tend to bother one as much as they do in the earlier stages. As one progresses on that platform of nishtha, then one develops ruchi, or a taste, a strong taste for, you know, the activities of hearing and chanting. One who has that strong taste, Prabhupada says, that person has the sword to cut through. And, you know, as a Prabhupada, we're giving the sword. Giving the sword, which we're gradually attracting the people and their appreciation and their faith more and more, till they come to that point and they have a strong faith and a strong taste. Then they can, you know, wield that sword to cut through the attachment, the bondage to material existence, and become nicely situated under the spiritual energy. So here, Prickett Maharaj is appreciating fully, very nicely, the activities of these great sages who have, you know, come to. They've spoken very nicely, and they've come to hear very nicely. And when they, you know, their activities of delivering conditioned salt is also very nice. And so he has praised them in this way. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
So far, how did Prabhupada Maharaj know that Sukadeva Goswami is coming, because he has not come so far? How did he know? Did he anticipate him, or does he really know?
Yeah, a nice question. In the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatmya, it describes that Bhaja, the great grandson of Krishna, Bhaja, he was in Mathura, and he was wondering, you know, where is everyone? You know, he was ruling, but he was wondering that the place seems to be deserted. He gradually came to understand by different sages that, so many of the associates of the Supreme Lord Krishna had actually gone back to Gaudiya. And Prithvi Maharaj, he went there to associate with Bhaja. And there were still some personalities there. I mean, some of the queens were there still, and they were feeling great separation from Krishna, and they they wanted to, you know, so it was described to them that if they called upon Uddhava, he would appear and he would help them to, you know, understand how to resolve that feeling of separation. So Uddhava appeared and he spoke to them, actually the Srimad Bhagavatam. And, but he spoke to Vajra. Parikshit Maharaj wanted to stay and hear these topics from Uddhava. And Uddhava said to him, no, you know, the age of Kali has entered and you have to go and conquer Kali because that is your duty as a king. So you cannot stay to hear. He said, but don't worry, because in the future Sukadeva Goswami will come and he will speak to Srimad Bhagavatam to you. Any questions or comments? Jai Ho, Shri Prabhupada.